Will you stand firm in your faith as our culture implodes? Letter to the American Church, the latest bestseller from Eric Metaxas, begs the church to defend the voiceless and to speak against the powers of our day that silence the cry for freedom. Metaxas inspires Christians to step into the calling God has placed on our lives at this pivotal point in history. Now is the time to champion the truth against a hostile culture. Get your copy of Letter to the American Church, available now at Amazon.com and wherever books are sold.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 23rd day of March 2023. That's right. And tonight we have the fellow who's right there on the board, none other than Kyle with a smile.
Hey, Pastor.
There you go. He's in control. He's the producer. He gets it done. All right. And then we have way out yonder, that back roads preacher, the Parson Joe Larson. Parson Joe Larson.
I'm here. You just all of a sudden faded out, but I can hear you now.
All righty. Well, then say something.
Well, I'm glad to be with you tonight. Somebody's got to keep you out of trouble.
All right. You should be. Well, somebody, like a rose between the thorns, between the three of us guys, none other. She's the lady of the herbs. She's the all-natural. Well, she's as close to Mother Nature as you'll get. Wendy Wilson.
Hello, Pastor. Good evening.
Good evening. It's good to have you with us tonight.
And hi, Pastor Joe.
Hello, Wendy. Glad to have you aboard.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we got a whole lot to cover, so we need to get right into it. Let's see if Joe remembers the title of the message. Hey, Joe.
Protection, fellowship, and unity for those who Christ died for.
All righty. Aha! For those who Christ... Well, didn't Christ die for... Didn't he die for the whole world?
Nope, he didn't.
He only
died for those who would accept him, and he knew because he predestined us, and he justified us, and then he will sanctify us with a new body.
We went through a whole litany of the requirements of those that he died for, huh? In other words,
exactly.
The long and the short of it all was he died for those that his blood was applied to, huh?
Yes. Then a simple answer, those that receive the blood of Christ.
Already.
Were covered by the blood.
But most people don't know that because you got a lot of sound bites out there. You'll hear people say, well, Christ died for everybody. That is not what the Bible teaches. It's very specific on who he died for. But let's pick it up where we left off in Ephesians chapter 1. Joe, could you read verses 1 and 2 and stop?
All right. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, Paul was the one who was writing this. He's a pretty smart fellow, wasn't he?
And yeah, he's pretty sharp.
So now he was talking about the saints there at the church, to the church there in Ephesus. Do you know who the pastor of that church was in Ephesus?
Oh, I should, but it's not coming to me.
Well, I'll bet you Wendy does. If I was to ask Wendy, she'd say Timothy. Hey, Wendy, who was the pastor of the church there?
Timothy.
I told you, see, I knew she'd know it.
That was the very good Wendy.
It was smooth.
Yeah, I know, she's good. She's good. Anyhow, and then when Timothy had later on after that, John, the Apostle John, took over for Timothy in that church. But anyhow, now let me ask you this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, were those saints alive?
Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, it wouldn't do any good to write letters to dead people, would it?
No, that wouldn't be very logical. He wouldn't have to, because if they were a saint, they would be in the presence. They could be in the presence of God Himself, and really wouldn't need to have a letter written.
So, but who was it that canonized him?
Canonized. Okay.
So, don't we hear today, in order to be sainthood, you have to be canonized? It's a ritual.
Oh, the Roman Catholic Church has that game. They claim that power, but. There's no canonization. God has those that are saints that are born again. Believers become the saints. The pastors are saints. Yeah, there's four categories of saints, right?
All righty. You're absolutely right. You're right. It starts with the angels, so the first category. They were referred to as saints, and then the Old Testament saints, and then the New Testament saints, and the Tribulation saints. So four categories of saints. Described as coming back with the Lord, and we're going to be into that as the New Testament saints. And so, here...
You mean we're not old enough to be Old Testament saints?
All you old people think alike, do you know that? Did you ever notice that, Wendy?
We're called older than dirt, so I thought I'd ask, you know.
Yep. Okay, so you become a saint the minute you're born again, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it teaches here. In fact, because he refers to all,
but
when he writes to all the churches, when he refers to the saints, that he's writing to people that are alive, so they didn't have to go through any ritual. And this is what the Bible teaches. See, there's a lot of difference between the sound bites and what different denominations teach and what the Word of God teaches. And so
it's called the difference between dogma, which is man created, and doctrine, which is Christ. The word of Christ.
So we want to stay right with doctrine, right?
Doctrine. We have no part in dogma.
All right, so...
It's above our pay grade by a long, 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 long way.
Let's go to... Read me verses 3 through 6.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved.
Okay, so here you go. This is an interesting thing, because when it says, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What do you think that means, heavenly places?
Well, we've been blessed from heaven above, and heaven is now our home as born-again believers. We just haven't gotten there yet.
So we've been blessed here now. Because see... This is talking about something very specific. What he's referring to is our salvation, that blessing.
Yes, our salvation is a blessing, eternal life, joint heir with Jesus and everlasting life.
The very first blessing you can receive is that of salvation, and then after that the others come. Now, it says, as according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Now, here, very clear. something's going on. How could he do that before the foundations? I mean, we weren't here before the foundations of the world, were we?
No, but he was. And not only was he before the foundations of the world, he is, well, all existent. He's everlasting. He's after the world was created. He's still existing forever. Even after what we would call the end of the world, he's still there. So he saw the creation before it was created, because he exists in all times and all places.
So
he saw creation before it happened.
Well, then wait a minute. Let me see here. How could this be? Because he has chosen us and him before the foundations of the world. So if God chose us, if we existed in the mind of God, then that means we were pre-existent too, because there was no world here, okay, at this time.
Nothing. We existed in the mind of God. That's a form of existence. We weren't physical, but he saw us and he knew everything about us, our spirit, our soul. Those that would accept him, so he chose us.
Was he speaking about the earth, or was he speaking about the world? Because there's a difference between the earth and the world. Either though,
world, the
they can be
world.
Okay. So before the earth existed, before the world existed,
before what we call creation happened.
All right. So we existed in the mind of God. So then, everything that exists before it became material existed in the mind of God. So was that just as real as the things you could touch, see, and feel?
Yes.
Okay.
If it exists in the mind of God, it will be exactly as he has it envisioned, desires it, or calls it into being. That's why God is perfect.
All right. So now here, there's something here, because it says here, according as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Who should be holy and without blame before him?
We should be, because we have been forgiven. Our sins, we were washed by the blood of the Lamb. We were covered by his blood, and we were made pure and holy through him. Not through anything we did, but through his forgiveness.
All righty. Hey, Wendy, is he getting...
When I was young, I couldn't understand the concept, and somebody gave me an idea one time. It was like, God has this giant eraser, and God can't forget, but what happens when he forgives our sins, it's like he takes a giant eraser, and they no longer exist. If they don't exist in the mind of God, they don't exist. We continue to sin. That's why we have to always go back to Jesus, and when we realize we're sinning, go back and ask for forgiveness. It's a continual process in a believer.
Very good. Now, having predestinated us, that word predestinate, do you know what the word means in the Greek there?
To choose before. It's to mark off or choose before.
Right. Well, it's determined. Actually, the word determined is used there. The word translated into English, determined before. But it's the same as choose before.
Choose before, determined before. Okay.
Okay. So, in the adoption of children of Jesus Christ, now, then he says, to the praise of the glory and the grace wherein he hath made us acceptable in him, in the beloved. This is something where he refers to the praise and the glory, the accepted. That word accepted is translated highly, highly favored, or graciously honored. But here's the thing, in the beloved, accepted in the beloved, where it says accepted in the beloved, what that word, or that in the beloved, is used seven times in Scripture, and it's a word that is spoken about Christ directly from the Father himself. Speaks that word about Christ directly. And so you'll find that seven times.
So, Pastor, is that like a nickname for Jesus?
I wouldn't call it a nickname. I don't think Jesus had nicknames. He had a lot of We would call it titles, yeah.
Title, yeah. You are my beloved.
Yep. And so that was an interesting thing there. And so he goes on to say, in whom we have redemption through through his blood. Here we go again. Who did Christ die for? Who his blood was applied to? This is what...
True, right.
Right.
Those of us that do that.
Yeah, so we need to, because again, there's people don't get this right. They don't dig deep enough into it to understand. These things here are very important to understand, because you hear all of these sound bites that are really not in there in Scripture. Like what? God loves everybody. God loves everybody. Does the Bible teach that God loves everybody?
No.
I'm afraid it doesn't.
No,
things that God hated, people he said he hated, and he hates sin. And, by the way, we were all sinners, so we were all hated.
Right, so then here, are we ever to read anything into Scripture? Because, see, one of the things, you'll ever notice this over in Romans 9, 11, where it talks about, did not Jacob I love, but Esau I hated.
I hated, right.
People will immediately say, so Esau went to hell. I mean, how many times have you heard that? Is that what it says? That reading something?
Not what it says. He hated because of the sin, but we don't know if Esau repented. We don't know. It doesn't say what happened.
Okay, the Bible does tell you who is the most merciful. Who is the most merciful? God.
God, right. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion.
And so here, he goes on to talk about what he says, in whom we have redemption through the blood, his forgiveness of sins according to the riches. Wow. You know, the riches there, the attributes of God are characterized by that term abundance and riches there. He tells you, it's used that he has exceedingly riches with grace, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, the unsearchable riches, the riches of his glory, the riches of his goodness, the riches both of his wisdom and his knowledge of God, and his riches in glory. So he tells you in all of these places it refers to the riches here, but it all has to do with...
The valuable things in the universe are his riches. His blood is being one of them.
So it always has to, it always, though, refers to God's glory in that, in the riches, huh?
Right.
So when we go on this, yeah, go ahead, Wendy.
I was just going to say, that just tells you God is the treasure.
Oh, absolutely. Now, if Joe and I don't get any of this stuff right, you let us know.
Okay.
Okay. Now, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, have made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. See, remember what we talked about yesterday, Joe? Okay. God's talk, what did he talk about? His purpose? That according to the purpose of his will, that he will...
Oh, right.
He will what? He will complete his purpose. His purposes will be done. And so this is why what we refer to, because people, they underestimate or somehow think that God can't quite do everything he says he's going to do. And that, you know, and of course we brought that up with who did God die for? He made it very clear in his purpose.
His purpose was to die for the saints, really.
Right, but you see, does God get it? In other words, does he always, as he says that he will complete, fulfill his purpose, will be done? So, if his purpose...
It always has been and it always will be.
So, all right, so if his purpose was to die for everybody, would not everybody then be saved?
The entire world would be saved, and there would be heaven on earth immediately, you know, in a way.
Now, the Pope has said that, humanly speaking, Christ failed at Calvary. Humanly speaking, he failed at Calvary. What's wrong with that statement?
Everything. Jesus did everything that the Father asked of him or commanded him, however you want to put it, because he said he always obeyed the will of the Father. He came as the Lamb of God and went to the cross to die, take your place, my place, Wendy's place, to die for our sins. And then he was raised from that dead, and then through his resurrection, he conquered death and hell. I'd say he was extremely successful in his mission.
Okay. He goes on to say,
fulfilled everything God asked of him.
Absolutely. When he goes and he says, wherein he hath abundant toward us in all wisdom and prudence, that simply means in complete and total understanding there. Now,
right.
Then he says this, having made known unto us in the, verse 10, then in that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both them which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Now, here, dispensation, there's seven main dispensations spoken of in Scripture. And it's too big to get into tonight, okay?
That sounds like a pretty good Bible study right there, right?
Yeah, I'm teaching on either that this week, or there's something else that's really been in the news. Wendy, do you know what it says in Deuteronomy 28 about the Lord's talking about that there will be plagues, that he's going to bring plagues on us that we have never heard of, that have never been mentioned? And we're seeing that now today, aren't we?
We kind of lived through one, didn't we? Not just see it. Some of us had it.
but there's others like that are happening right now. That
you're right. Yeah.
Newer ones, but anyhow. So I'm thinking of looking at the signs. They're all around us of the end times. They're all around us. They're everywhere. But you know, it's like the idea of people can't see the forest because the trees are in the way. The vast majority of people out there are totally oblivious to they're totally oblivious to the signs and the times and the dispensation that we're living in right now. We're living in the sixth dispensation period, which is what? The church age, huh?
Right.
And so all of these things that we're seeing happening is prophesied very clearly without any stuttering, but we're seeing it and it's unfolding real time before our eyes, but I would probably say maybe 5% of the population, I mean, I'm guessing at that, actually understands it or that are aware of what is happening around us.
Big awareness, yeah.
All right, so he goes on to say, in whom we've also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So here we go back again.
Who else would God take counsel from but himself? He has no one when he takes counsel from. It has to be his own counsel.
Oh, yeah? Well, you haven't heard Mr. Duplantis because...
Well, Duplantis.
Mr. Duplantis, and I heard him say it, he says that God calls on him for advice.
And... it's so funny for somebody to be that stupid that God, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-existing, who by thinking, speaking the word, the entire universe into creation, that he's going to take counsel from one of the creation, one of the little itty-bitty parts of this gigantic universe.
Well, not only did... According to Mr. Duplantis, that he asked him for advice on things, but the ladies there said, "What was he wanting to know?" So it's an amazing thing, a time that we live in. Now, let me go to verse 12, that we should be the praise of his glory and the first trust in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
Okay,
yeah.
So what, you were sealed, so the Holy Spirit is your seal. The Holy Spirit
right,
is the seal.
We were given that by Jesus.
So he was doing the ceiling. Forever. Christ was doing the ceiling, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession until the praise of his glory. So now, what is he talking about? He's talking about our salvation is sealed. And where is our salvation kept? You read it when you said here in verse 3.
In heaven.
So our salvation is kept. It's kept in heaven. It's sealed with the Holy Spirit, and Christ sealed it. So if it's in heaven, how can we lose it if we don't have possession?
All right, we don't have possession of it. We can't give it away, sell it. Nobody can take it. Nobody can go to heaven and take it away from there.
Okay, so last night we read 17. He gave us 17 very clear reasons why we can't lose our salvation in Romans chapter 8, huh? All righty, so.
Much, yeah,
That was those 17 things.
17, yeah.
Yeah. And so.
I can't remember all those at one time, but you're right. I wrote down the number 17.
Yeah. And that number has significance because 10 means completion, right? And 7 means
right.
Perfection. So it's perfection. Complete perfection, right?
Right.
Okay. Is that right, Wendy?
Yes.
I knew it. We'll be right back. Welcome to God's world.
To God's world.
Won't you come on in?
Come on in.
Miracles start here.
Miracles start here.
He'll take away your sin.
Take away your sin.
Open up your heart.
Open up your heart.
Leave your fears behind.
Leave them all behind.
You'll be living there.
You'll be living there.
Until the end of time.
Till the end of time.
Knock, and his door will open. Seek. And you'll be given eternal life, sublime. He'll be waiting there.
He'll be waiting there.
His arms open wide.
His arms open wide.
Waiting there for you. It was for you and I that he was crucified. Boy, that guy can sing, I'll tell you. Anyhow, listen to this. You know
when
what happened?
Sing with an angel, you sound good.
Yeah, she was, Esty could sing, couldn't she? She was a sweetheart.
Yes. And she's home with the angels now, singing in their choir.
Yep. And anyhow, you know, I want to thank the lady that called in to remind me today was the 22nd, not the 23rd. And thank you, ma'am, for doing that. Joe didn't do it, so I thank you for doing it. Alrighty, but now... Speaking of Joe, we have Jack Boyle, and Jack Boyle's got nothing to do with Joe.
Sing with an angel, you sound good.
Yeah, alrighty.
Esty could sing, couldn't she? She was
what's going on here? Hold it, hold it. Jack Boyle, turn your radio off. Are you there?
Ah.
Jack? Somebody had the radio on, and we were getting a seven-minute delay. Jack Boyle, are you there? Where's Jack at, Kyle?
Hold on. I'm trying to get him to get his radio on.
Yeah, live radio, folks, you know.
Yeah.
That's what makes it interesting. We do have our problems. And anyway, Kyle is working hard to get this.
Okay.
We're good.
Are you there, Jack?
I am here, and I apologize. I thought I had turned my radio off. I've been listening for the last hour, and it's a wonderful conversation that you've been having, and I didn't realize I hadn't turned my iPad off, which I was listening on. So, I was confused.
Oh,
who was talking to whom?
Is that the first time that's happened, Jack? Trust me.
I can't imagine.
All right, so... Now we still have an echo. I got an echo, but that's okay. I'll get by this echo. Now, here's what we're going to talk about, Jack. There was a writ of mandamus filed Monday in Ohio Supreme Court. Now, and Jack, you are with the Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee, which I am with.
I am indeed, yes.
And we are fighting this evil legislation they're trying to get on the ballot. And so here we have a verified complaint for writ of mandamus today. Do you want to cover that, or go ahead.
I would be happy to talk about that, yes.
Well, go ahead and take it away and tell the folks, because...
Okay. Well, you know, the process for getting a constitutional amendment on the ballot, you know, that's laid out in Ohio's Constitution, is that you write your constitutional amendment, you write a short summary that describes it, you circulate, you get 1,000 signatures, and then you submit it to the Attorney General. And the Attorney General's job is to say that your short description accurately describes your amendment. A little bit to many people's surprises, often, you know, the practice has been over years, and certainly recently, but long periods of time, the Attorney General doesn't accept the first try. Okay, they say no, this doesn't really do it, and they, you know, sort of reject it, and the petitioners have to go back a couple of times before they get it right. This time, for reasons that don't seem to quite make sense, it very quickly was approved. Okay, the next step is it goes to something called the ballot board. And the ballot board's job, and the ballot board is a group of five people, three Republicans and two Democrats. Now, because of the, you know, the way office holders are in Columbus, and it's chaired by the Secretary and two more Republicans and a couple of Democrats. And the ballot board's job is to say that the measure satisfies what's called the single issue rule. And we have in Ohio law and that legislation and constitutional amendments and petitions and whatever have to be about a single issue. And that, frankly, is honored pretty much in the breach. Nobody pays any attention to it unless it's something that everybody hates, and then they whack you over the head with it, okay? But in this case, again, the ballot board almost instantly passed this and approved it.
Let me jump in a minute here, because first of all, in Ohio, like you said, three Republicans and two Democrats, and unfortunately in Columbus, a lot of our Republicans aren't Republicans. Our Republicans are Democrats, okay?
Very definitely.
Yeah, they're rhinos. We warned and we've been after people to try to stop this. What's been going on for a long time now. Here, when you talk about single issue, this is by no way single issue. Not only does this have anything to do with we killing babies with abortion, but if they pass that, then parents have no right to even be informed. In fact, they can legally be, parents can be charged if they try to stop their children from, the boys from being castrated and the young girls from having their breasts cut off. And all kinds of evil things. This is legislation right from hell, isn't it?
It clearly is, okay? And it clearly, the idea that this is a single issue is absurd, okay? But for, again, understandable reasons, from my perspective anyway, the ballot board just instantly approved this thing. Now,
well, those reasons usually have to do with a certain number of greenbacks. That's the way it usually works out. Solomon said, "Money answers all things." But go ahead.
There's a lot of speculation about why. Okay, mm-hmm. And frankly, both in the attorney general's sphere and in the ballot board sphere, there were people that those of us, on the pro-life side considered to be allies, and we were a little baffled about why this just slid through so quickly. Okay, and there's a good scenario, whether it's believable or not remains to be seen. But one of the good scenario is that the bad guys, the pro aborts,
pro-deathers,
have done a bad job of writing their petitions, and that because of the fact that not only do they enshrine abortion, through birth and whatever in this thing, but they also take away parental notification that this is something that will be, potentially successfully defeated, and they didn't want to give the pro-aborts a chance to rewrite the thing in a way that would be more acceptable politically. That's the good scenario. The bad scenario is everybody's running for cover. Everybody's worried about the next thing that they're going to run for. They didn't want to be involved in the controversy, and they just look the other way. And which is it? Well, I've been working in Columbus, as have you, Pastor Sanders, and many of us, to unfortunately be pretty skeptical and cynical about, the motivations of what people do. In any case, they did it. However, a group in Cincinnati said, "We're not taking this. The idea that this is a single issue is absurd." And so they filed suit and for a writ of mandamus. And a writ of mandamus basically is it's a writ that asks the court to make an order. Because of the way this thing is filed, this goes straight to the Ohio Supreme Court. I had heard about this, and I didn't take it very seriously until I heard who the attorney was. And he's the guy named Kurt Hartman from Cincinnati, who is very good and who I've worked with before. And I think this thing's got a real chance. And the question is, and it quotes in if you look at the filing that Attorney Hartman did, if you look at the minutes of the ballot board, they never even discussed whether it was a single issue or not. They never even, that was their job. That was what the ballot board exists for. It never even was raised. And they, he quotes the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, in the Casey horrendous decision that was done in the 90s that, you know, kept Roe going, but also in the Dobbs decision, where in both cases, the U.S. Supreme Court says abortion is a single issue disconnected from other issues. And, I mean, there's no higher judicial authority that we have. And so this, you know, this suit has, I think, real, you know, power and real real chance of being successful. Now, the question is,
Zach,
what's the Ohio Supreme Court going to do? They might just
order
the ballot board to go back and look at it again.
Okay, Joe's asking, he's got a comment. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, okay. You were talking about this ballot board. The phrase just hits me in the face, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. And it sounds like that's what happened when this was just passed up through. Nobody did anything, didn't look at it, didn't criticize it, didn't check it. And now you've got it into play. And it's just that old adage, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Nobody stopped this, and they should have stopped it long ago, right?
Well, you know, what Jack may be saying to you is this, okay, because the Ohio Attorney General is pro-life. I know him, and he's very pro-life. Now, he may have looked at this thought and thought, okay, here, I'm gonna let this thing go through, Dave Yost, because if I let it go through the way it is, it doesn't have a chance.
And
that may be what he was thinking about there, because again, like I said, he's been with us. He's been pro-life with us. Wouldn't you say, Jack? I've talked to him, and he's been with us 100% along the way.
You know, I have known Dave for many years, and Pastor Sanders, he's an extraordinarily good man, and he is definitely with us. And so, you know, again, his just sort of pushing this thing through without even, you know, so much as a little bump in the road was a surprise to me. And I can't think of any other reason other than he thinks this is beatable. Now, let me say this. When this is on the ballot, there's horrendous danger. You know, I mean, they might steal it. They might this. They might that. Who knows? I mean, we can't, even though it makes sense to us that it's absurd and it should be beaten, if it's on the ballot, this could pass.
Well, they've got to get 413. Yeah. They have to get 413,000 signatures by July 5th. But let me ask you this, because here they wanted to, in August, when they have the primary there, they wanted to take a look at this thing in August and see if they have a vote, if they can move it up to before a ballot could be approved. You'd have to be with 60% of the vote, not 50% right now, right?
Well, there's two things that you're raising with this comment. First is the 413,000 or 15,000, whatever it is, signatures. They had a drive-through petition signing event in Bainbridge Township, which was about in a park, which was about 2 miles from my house, okay? And very close, Pastor Sanders, to where I'm a little closer than you are, but last Saturday. And I went there just to see what they were doing. And I actually was confused about the location, and I didn't get there till about 15 minutes before they were finished. But they were in a park in Bainbridge, and there were only two cars. And if they've got two cars at a time, they're never going to get to 413,000 signatures. The trouble is there are companies that you can hire to get signatures. And once upon a time, 10, 12 years ago, I worked on a couple of it cost anywhere from $1.50 to $4 a signature. I've been thinking it might cost $10 a signature these days, although people are telling me even higher. But the satanic people behind this, their money is no object. They have all the money that they could possibly need. And so if they need $10 million or $20 million to get these signatures, they'll get it. And so, we can't. And even if they don't, say they go through this process, they need these signatures by July 5th, and let's say they only get 300,000. The signatures are still good. They can just keep collecting the signatures and put it on next year. So we don't really dodge a bullet by having them not make it, okay? The second thing is there is has been talk in Columbus about changing the process in the Ohio Constitution by which you amend the Constitution. And right now we have a process where you get the thing on the ballot, and if it passes by 50% plus one, it's in the Constitution. And we have all kinds of horrible things in the Constitution because, companies or businesses, I would say that casino gambling might be the best example or the worst, depending on your point of view of that, because, business interests or, union interests or, pro-abortion interests or whatever, had the money and just essentially bought the process, okay? And when you think about how difficult it is to amend the United States Constitution, the idea that you can put something on the ballot and then have it passed by 50% plus one to amend our state constitution is absurd. It's far too easy. And so there has been talk for some years and very much recently about changing, putting putting a constitutional amendment on the ballot that would change the process to require a 60% margin of, to pass a constitutional amendment instead of the 50% that we have now. Now, the trouble is that should have been passed, and it was supposed to have been passed in the lame duck session last December of the House, of the General Assembly House and Senate. And of course, I'm sure, I'm not sure if your listeners are aware, you certainly, Pastor Sanders, you and are aware that despite the fact that the Republicans had 67 members in the 99-member House, 22 Republicans and joined with all of the Democrats to elect essentially a Democrat-leaning professional lobbyist as the Speaker of the House.
Absolutely. That's what we warned people about. That's what they were going to do. Yeah.
Yep. And that, that Speaker made deals. I mean, has to have made deals, okay? They killed the backpack bill. They killed this, constitutional amendment. There are other things that it appears that they killed. And now they're talking about resurrecting it and trying to get it on the ballot in August. But there was just a news report from Gong War, which is a news service that pays attention to stuff going on in the General Assembly, that the Speaker, again, this Jason Stevens, the guy that is really a Democrat, his tool to the idea of putting this on the August ballot. And, you know, and then the conundrum comes to, so let's say they get it on the September or on the November ballot, but the abortion is on the November ballot too. And so let's say both of them passed. Then if we try to, then if we try to go back next year and undo the abortion amendment, we need 60%. It passed with 50, but we'll need 60. And so there is this, I mean, we're in this sort of conundrum, this no man's land of what is it that we do?
We've got to stop them from getting it on the ballot in November, okay? In other words, when we see people out there collecting signatures, I know if I see someone out there, I'm going to go up and I'm going to preach them heaven sweet hell hot. I'm going to stand there and talk to them and let them know that what they're doing is about death. And what God's Word, the Bible, is pretty clear about how he feels about harming children. And this whole thing destroys children. And I encourage people out there to know. Now, another thing we can do, Jack, is we can make professionally made signs we have out here that tells what it's really all about, what this thing is really all about. And just go up there where you see these people out there and stand next to them carrying that sign. But there's other things. We're going to fight this because our sewers run red with the blood of the unborn in this country today. America's national sin is child killing. We don't need any more grievous national sins. And so,
Pastor Ernie?
Yeah, Joe.
This is an example to the whole nation how the Democrats work. They infiltrate. They put, rhinos in office to thwart things. This is the kind of thing that happens in every state in this country, and it's why we keep trying to remind people that they must get involved, pay attention to their local politics. They have to be on top of things because they try and sneak things by. What's the name of this now that they're trying to pass? I didn't catch that at first. What's the referendum called?
It's called the Reproduction Freedom with safety and safeguards amendment. So it's a total lie, completely. I mean, it's just like what they do. What it says is exactly the opposite of what it does.
It's the way it always
right,
is with
which
them.
Is, right. Yeah, par for the course, right?
Yep.
Right. Well, let me say this.
You only got 1 minute left, so go ahead.
Again, yeah. Pastor Ernie, I'm a grassroots guy. I'm out there. Again, I went to the petition signing, and there were only two cars, and I didn't really know. There were no signs. They were, they were keeping their head down, and I sort of drove up slowly because I didn't even know where I was going, and a woman comes up to my car, rolled the window down, and she says, "Do you want to sign the petition?" And I said, "No. I just wanted to see where it was," which didn't actually make any sense. And she says to me, "Do you have any questions?" And I said, "No, but I will pray for you." And she looked at me, and then she said, "Okay," and she turned and walked away.
30 seconds. All righty. Jack, thanks for being here. We need you to give us updates because we're out of time. We're going right up to a hard break here, but
there will be more about this, and I'll be very happy to come back and talk about the new developments as they happen.
We will do it. All right, thank you very much. We will be back right after this with more. Don't go away. We got Miss Wendy right after this.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 888-SHARE-19. That's 888-SHARE-19. 888-SHARE-19.